Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Tomorrow all things were gone. I'd work for all my life. And I had to start again. With just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you.
Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. All right. You know I had to play on to the chorus of that. You can't listen to this without playing the chorus.
God bless the USA.
I know. I always love this week. We always focus on this music, and I love it, and it always brings a smile to my face. Welcome back to the show. I've got Uncle Milty here, and I also have an author with us, Jeff McKenna. How are you?
Great.
Excellent.
Great to be here.
Excellent. Local author. And let me tell you, you need to check out this book. It's called Saving Dr. Warren, A True Patriot. And not only does this cover history of all kinds that are near and dear to our heart, right? This story, tell us a little bit about this story, Jeff, and how you came to write this.
Well, you know, Kate, you always can ask somebody in this country, have you ever heard of Dr. Joseph Warren? And 99% will say no, they haven't. And then the second question is, have you ever heard of Paul Revere? And then they laugh at you and they look,
right,
what are
course.
You
Right, of course. Who hasn't?
And then you ask the third question, mm-hmm. Who sent Paul Revere on that ride? Who was Paul Revere's mentor, best buddy? And it was Dr. Joseph Warren. If you had told Paul Revere 250 years ago he would be more famous than Dr. Warren, he would have had a belly laugh. Because Dr. Warren has more geographical landmarks named after him than any founding father except George Washington himself. And yet he's been forgotten. And largely he was forgotten because in 1861, an amazing poet and an amazing patriot by the name of Henry Longfellow wrote The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. And in there, there's no mention of actually who sent him on the ride and who is the
Paul Revere's
mentor.
There's like no focus on this.
And all of a sudden, Paul Revere became the person we focused on.
I always think it's amazing that a lot of the signers are never talked about. I mean, all these men that were heroes and really took this huge risk, and people like Dr. Warren not talked about in history. Why do you think they're bypassed?
Good question. I mean, in this situation, it was because Paul Revere became the focal point because of that piece of kind of social media. In that at that time, it was a poem by a very famous poet. So when you look at the book, it's called Saving Dr. Warren, and it's kind of got a double meaning in there, and that my main character, a 14-year-old boy, is having these experiences in time travel with Dr. Warren with the idea that he's going to save him from the Battle of Bunker Hill. Dr. Warren dies at Bunker Hill. If you go to Bunker Hill at the end of the Freedom Trail, huge monument. It was originally constructed on the location where Dr. Warren died and where he was buried. It was amazing. But anyways, my boy is thinking, I've got to save him. I've got to save him. And he realizes, I don't want to give away the book, but he realizes that there's another way that you can save him. And you can write a book and you can have something that in the book records these memories of this great hero. And my boy, my main character, this 14-year-old boy, has this transition from being just a regular 14-year-old boy like, you know, I was, like Uncle Milty was, like all of us were, where we're like, country, United States, I'm in an essay contest. I can win $500. I'll write about patriotism if it'll win me $500. And then that ends up spurring on these opportunities.
The learning opportunity.
And a transformation opportunity.
Wow. So when you were doing this, because I've noticed a lot of books are written in this style, and I actually do think it really captures the reader, you know, when they can kind of go through a story about it. I've noticed this a lot, and I'm actually grateful for that, because I think it resonates with people. When you're telling, first of all, what made you discover Dr. Joseph Warren? If he's so little talked about in history, which he really is, what made you discover him?
That's a great question, Kate. So 20 years ago, I've been working on this book for 20 years. 20 years ago, my wife knows I've always loved history.
Right.
I'm an estate planning attorney. I'm not a historian, but I love history. I love studying the founding of our country. And so she gives me a book called Rebels and Redcoats, written in the 1950s. And in the very first chapter, it talks about Paul Revere walking the nights of Boston. It's dark, and he's getting to somebody's door, and he's going to knock on that door. And they open up the door, and that is Dr. Warren telling him what he needs to do. And I'm like, wait a second. Who's telling Paul Revere what to do?
Right.
And I realized, who is this Dr. Mm-hmm. Warren? And that was my first introduction to him, Kate. And at that point, 20 years ago, I thought, how cool it would be to actually write mm-hmm. a book about Dr. Warren.
Yeah. Tell us about him, too. Uncle Milty, go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Tell us about him.
Well, Dr. Warren's amazing. I mean, Dr. Warren will end up... He's the one that is in charge of everything when Sam Adams and John Hancock leave Boston in the spring of 1775, mm-hmm. just before the revolution starts. It's so heated there that they get out, and he's the next one in command, and he's in command of everything, Kate. He is in charge. He's in charge of the spy network. He's the one that gets the information and knows the British are moving.
Right.
To this date, Kate, we do not know how he got that information for sure, but he got it. An interesting tidbit is that the General Gage's wife was an American from New Jersey. Dr. Warren lost all of his clients that were the rich, tied to England kind of clients. Mm-hmm. He'd only get those that were loyal to the Americas and the Patriots, the rebels, so to speak, but not her. Mm. She stayed a patient of Dr. Warren. And so then right after, because for General Gage to lose that element of surprise, mm-hmm. to have all of those people confront mm-hmm. him because Revere and Dawes had went out there and had warned the countryside, it was devastating. Right after that, he sends his wife, Margaret, back to England. Could be because he wanted to protect her for safety. Could have been that he was like trying to figure out who spilled the beans here. But
seriously.
So Dr. Warren is involved in all of this. He's the only one that speaks at the Boston Massacre two times. He does it March 5th of 1775. Just on the eve of the revolution. The revolution's going to start in April. On March, he's getting in front of, you know, all of Boston to speak. And the British made it clear, hey, we're done with this commemoration of the Boston Massacre. Anybody that gets up and speaks, they're going to leave this church with a noose around their neck.
Right.
And Warren was the one that said, I'll do it. Even though it was his second time, he's the only one that spoke at two different occasions. And he gets up and gives just an amazing discourse. And so he's just, he's an amazing guy. He goes to Bunker Hill. In fact, I mean, Ronald Reagan, I end the book with a little bit of a note by author Kate, where Ronald Reagan in 1980 mm-hmm. quotes Dr. Warren. And in that quote, he says, most Americans are not familiar with this patriot because he dies so early. He dies mm-hmm. at Bunker Hill. But the quote is a powerful quote, and I'll just kind of read.
Yeah.
So if I could just read, it just says that, This is what Ronald Reagan quotes in his inaugural address. Dr. Warren had said that Ronald Reagan is quoting in 1980. Our country is in danger, but not to be despaired of. On you depend the fortunes of America. You are to decide the important question upon which rests the happiness and the liberty of millions yet unborn. Act worthy of yourself.
Ooh.
And then Reagan just goes on to say, well, I believe we, the Americans of today, are ready to act worthy of ourselves, ready to do what must be done to ensure happiness and liberty for ourselves, our children, and our children's children. And I just think that's so apropos mm-hmm. in what we're experiencing in our country. And the idea that we can he was so famous, Kate, in his day. When he dies at Bunker Hill, that resonates across all 13 colonies because he was the head mason for all of North America.
Wow.
So all of the Masons, and we know that there were a lot of the founding fathers that were in the Masonic organization, they all knew of Joseph Warren. And so when he dies, it resonates that this isn't just a little squabble that mm-hmm. those Bostonians, those New Englanders are causing trouble again. It was like, this is real.
Yeah.
This is big. And they all kind of come together, and that's the beginning of, you know, the battles and the wars.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? We're still in trouble. You know, you think you create a country, you get to the part where you, for the first time in history, create a, where the government is supposed to be owned by the people. We're not, sadly, anymore, but it's supposed to be that way. And you look and you look at all these problems we're having right now. We're in such danger right now, and it has never changed because it's like there's so many people out there that think that it was a gift given, but they don't have to do anything for the gift.
That's the message.
Yeah.
That truly is the message of this book to this 14-year-old boy, is the idea that, you know what? Patriotism means that you do something. His essay, the essay contest that starts it all, is what does patriotism mean after mm-hmm. 9/11? The book takes place in 2001, right mm-hmm. after 9/11, which is a very patriotic time.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea of what does patriotism mean?
Mm.
And the conclusion is it means you do something.
Right.
You do something to make your country better and appreciate the great country you have.
I love that. Yeah.
So you also have a nonprofit organization, right? Now, what's the goal of that?
It's called Help Patriotism Prevail, and it literally was created 2 weeks ago when I had a client, Uncle Milty, that said, hey, I want to help get these books into a classroom. I want to get 14 and 15-year-olds to actually be able to read it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you a check. What do you need? Oh, $290. I'll write it.
Great.
And then he said, Kate, who do I make it payable to? And I thought, well, Jeff McKenna, but that sounded kind of weird. And I thought, you know what? We can create something. I'm a lawyer. I can do this.
Yeah, right.
So we created a Utah nonprofit called Help Patriotism Prevail. And the idea behind it is, one, to sponsor essay contests that would tie to the book, just like the book.
Sure,
the whole book stems around this one essay, and it's just kind of a fun play on that. But also, the idea that, you know, donations could be made so that books could go into the classroom. I'm not taking a nickel. I'm blessed.
Yeah,
I've got a
great
professional career. It's all about trying to get these books to
this
kids.
This education.
Yes.
Yes, this education. Instead of letting Black Lives Matters go and teach our kids history. Oh, good gravy. You know, let's get into their hands what true courage looks like. What a patriot. Because these people put everything on the line. I mean, we have a hard time clicking like on a post. You know what I mean? I mean, we're just, our way of trying to get out there and do something is to say something on social media. That's our bravado now. But I'm telling you, these people knew. They knew what that sacrifice had to look like.
What a killer analogy, right? I wrote a funny. I mean, our courage is to hit click or to do social media. He goes to Bunker Hill as a widower. His wife and Paul Revere's wife will die within 2 weeks of each other.
Wow.
They're in Boston, and he had to be he was the doctor for both his wife and for his best buddy's wife, and they die within 2 weeks. He doesn't remarry. He has four children. When he marches to go to Bunker Hill, and they literally posted a guard in front of his, where he was sleeping, saying, you're not going.
Mm-hmm.
You're the president of the Provincial Congress of Massachusetts. You're not going up on that hill and fighting.
Right.
And he said, no, I'm the one that said, get these guys here, build a fort in a night, and they'll take on the greatest empire behind the fort that they built in one night. I will be there. They need me there. They posted a guard, and then the guard kind of left because it was kind of late in the day. He snuck away, got to the hill with four little kids, knowing there's a good chance he's not going to come back. And he didn't come back. And just the last thing I'll share about that, because like you were saying, Kate, that's like giving all.
Yeah.
In our own state, in the very, very end of the book, and I have a page called Patriots Page, and it has a picture of our own Brent Taylor, who was a major in the Utah National Guard up in Ogden.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to fight on his fourth tour of duty, does not come back.
Mm-hmm.
Seven children.
Mm-hmm.
And he dies in Afghanistan, giving it all. And his beautiful wife spoke here at Spilsbury Mortuary in Veterans Day, and her title of her talk was The Price of Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, the price that my husband paid and our family paid was his life.
The ultimate
price. And she says, is that too much? And the whole speech was, no, my husband would do it. Even if he knew that was going to be the result. So you see these patriots, and you're like, we can give more to what they gave all for. But Brent Taylor's got a little cameo role at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
He's in my character gets to meet him right there at Bunker Hill, and it's kind
That's
of funny
awesome.
in modern day Boston at the end
that
of Bunker
is
Hill.
Awesome. So go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so the American Legion is having a fundraiser this weekend on the 4th of July at Tanaquin Cemetery from 9 to 11 a.m.
On Saturday.
On Saturday.
Saturday.
And Jeff is going to be there signing his book for you.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yep. And it all goes to American Legion. All of the funds
that's
go to
awesome.
American Legion as a fundraiser. And also, Uncle Milty and Kate, we're going to have a historical flag display. There's going to be a presentation
there.
Cool. The American Legion will do it. We'll have flags going all the way back to before Bunker Hill, the Don't Tread on Me, the Civil War flag, the 1812 flag. All of those flags will be there on display with a little bit about them and their history.
I love that. If you want to take a selfie, go with all the flags and take a selfie there. I love that. And I also love that you're doing this. I've got a lot of family involved with American Legion, and what a great cause that is. So, of course, Tanaquin Cemetery this Saturday, 9 o'clock, 9 to 11. Make sure you go down and see this great visual of the flags. What a great opportunity to do that right on the 4th of July. Yeah. That's awesome. And I always commend diving in and writing a book like this, because when you can let people know about a part of our history, you know, it's I interviewed the head of the Bircher Society, and, you know, he wrote a book, you know, to the victors go the monuments. And we hear about only certain people in history. And there's so many more with such big stories to tell about their own courage and displays of sacrifice. And so I'm always interested in the stories we don't get to hear. I really appreciate this. Jeff McKenna, thank you. And you can get this book online, too.
Yes, definitely. Yes. Amazon.com.
Saving Dr. Warren.
Saving Dr. Warren.
A True Patriot. On Saturday. Go down and see him from 9 to 11, Tahnequint Cemetery. And the money goes to American Legion, a great cause. Uncle Milty and I will be right back. Don't go anywhere. We'll take your calls on all the more national issues that we'll talk about. And appreciate all your involvement in these local hours. They'll be up on podcasts. Please share. And be right back on The Kate Daly Show.